And just to, this is just a reminder to help us look at where we're going to go over the next little while. But this idea of our church isn't just a place where we go to gather, because the church is the gathering of the people called out by the Lord for a specific purpose. And so in Matthew, when Jesus talks, he says, I'm going to build my own gathering of people called out for a specific purpose, and all the powers of hell will not conquer this gathering of my people. And so again, part of that idea is the fact that the calling that we have as a church, as the body of Christ, does not disappear the moment we leave the building. It doesn't disappear if we've had a rough week at work or a difficult day or we've had a falling or whatever. It doesn't disappear. The calling to us as the church isn't just about this space. Does that make sense? If you weren't here, that was a recap of a 40-minute sermon. But it's the idea of our calling. You are the church. Called out, set apart, anointed, equipped, body of people, a royal priesthood. And the idea of the priesthood is that everyone is a minister. The Levites were ministers to the Lord. They represented the Lord to the people. But now you are all part of the priesthood. Every single one of us as part of the body of Christ is part of the royal priesthood. And so that idea is that the priests were called to serve the Lord, to represent the Lord to the people. This idea of this, you know, in the temple there was little vessels and certain things that were consecrated. They were set apart for holy use. But now we are set apart for holy use. And that in doing means that there's no distinction between sacred and secular. That there's no distinction between sacred and secular. That our calling isn't just meant to be compartmentalized to 2 hours on a Sunday morning. So, again, bit of a recap, but that means at the soccer field, the ball diamond, at the workplace, at the boardroom, when you're shopping, getting gas, or getting coffee, your calling is still there. You are the church. And that if we save up all of our energy and desire to make it to Sunday, we just got to get through the week to make it to Sunday to come to a church service, we're actually missing part of the larger call that God has for every one of us. Yeah. This morning, possibly over the next couple weeks or longer, we're going to be looking at church, but maybe from a little different perspective. This idea that though we are the church as a gathering of people, what do we do when we gather? What does it look like? And so we're going to revisit some of 1 Corinthians and Romans. We're going to take a look at Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, taking a look at what it practically might look like as we gather together, because Jesus says it's a gathering of his people. So it means we actually come together to meet at some point. It's not always a Sunday morning, but there's a gathering. What does it look like when we meet? Are you with me? Some of it is similar. Over the last 4 years of being here, interwoven in other sermons and other messages. But sometimes when seasons change and things occur, we can forget that we actually have part of an obligation to one another and forget what it looks like when we actually gather what the purpose is. Father, again, I thank you. Thank you that you're the one who guides us, that you shape us. Help us to hear clearly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So as a reminder, Jesus gave those gifts to the church, to us, to the body, to build up the body, to allow us to do his work. And so this morning we're going to take a little bit of a look at what that looks like, what his work is. And again, just as the longer I've been a Christian, the more I tend to, when I look at that passage of Scripture, so Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, when I look at that, the more I realize that every single one of us have some part of this gift mix. That it's not just five individual people in a church and none of the rest of us have these mixes. There's room in this Scripture to understand that every single one of us have an individual portion of these specific gifts. They're leadership gifts. They're gifts to the church to grow and build or edify the church. It's not just one person and it's not just paid staff. It's every single one of us, every single one of you. At different capacities, coupled with spiritual gifts imparted by the Holy Spirit, coupled with your personality, coupled with your abilities or your talents and your capacity. Because some have a larger capacity and they can handle larger groups of people and be able to do things differently than the person who can maybe handle two people in their life. And that's okay. As Mrs. Obel said today, we're uniquely made. You don't look at somebody else and compare yourself and go, well, I can't be like them, so therefore I got nothing. God has called you to be you. As Sam brought a couple weeks ago, he said, you just be you, who God has called you to be. And so, again, there's this understanding that all of that, the fact that individually we have these gifts here, that it's actually for the benefit of the body. It's not for your own personal benefit. This gift, these gifts, these five gifts are specific leadership gifts given by Jesus to proclaim the word and to lead and build up the church. Are you following me? So just as a reminder, in case you've forgotten, because it was quite a while ago when I mentioned some of these, but apostle, it literally means a delegate or a messenger, one sent forth with orders. It's also the understanding of somebody maybe with as an authoritative delegate. Again, each one of us is sent into the world with a message of hope, a message of victory, doing the work of an evangelist. But this is something different. Somebody who is apostolic in nature is a pioneer often. They're a spiritual entrepreneur. They're maybe a maverick, a church planter, a mission starter. They're somebody who doesn't build necessarily on somebody else's foundation. They go where no one has gone before. Star Trek. But seriously, they go where no one's gone before. They look at new ways that bring people into the kingdom. They're bigger picture minded. They're visionary. They focus on how they can maybe pastor pastors and lead leaders, or just they're. I know some. Actually, I know quite a few people like this. Some of them are in this building here. Some of them are my friends from other churches and other places and ministries around the world. The church needs this. The body needs this. Not just Gateway, not just this building where we gather, but the body needs apostolic people. The prophet, in this passage, it means foreteller. An inspired speaker with the understanding that the person is under the immediate influence of the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament's role of the prophet was something that was a little different from the Old Testament, but the New Testament role of the prophet was preaching God's grace accomplished through the cross and helping the body understand God's future purposes. Does that make sense? At the same time, prophets are uniquely gifted at receiving and mediating revelation from the Lord at a specific given time. Again, some of you know people like that. Some of the people who gather here weekly have this gift mix. They're also forth-tellers, meaning they exhort people to turn back to the Lord and they proclaim the kingdom of God. And they're foretellers. Forth teller, bringing exhortation, strongly urging people to do something about their faith. I think we had some exhortation this morning. Because there's a strong urging to do something, to act. There's a calling back, a wake up. They also are foretellers of God's future purposes, and they're gifts to the church to provide edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." At the same time, an evangelist is one who is a preacher of the gospel, or an announcer of the good news, or a messenger of victory and hope. They speak of God's good news, His plan of salvation through Jesus. And the thing is, that word in this passage is no different than when Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And so we understand that each one of us is called to do the work of an evangelist. But somebody who's an evangelist has been uniquely gifted to turn conversations around and direct people to the Lord. And they have a greater sense to witness people actually surrender their lives to Jesus. We're all called to be messengers of victory, messengers of the hope of the good news of salvation through Jesus. But an evangelist is gifted in that sense. There's a special grace on them. At the same time, a pastor is one who takes care of sheep. It's actually from the root word meaning to protect. So a shepherd is that one who protects, guides, feeds, protects, and cares for others. Not every pastor is standing in a pulpit. Not every pastor is in a lead role at a church. Not every pastor is actually even in some type of full-time ministry. You could be a shepherd, caring for a group of people, small or large, around you, because you guide and feed and protect and care for them. That's the role of a shepherd, the role of a pastor. And then a teacher is an instructor, someone who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man or the responsibilities of man. And often they have a God-given way of bringing, proclaiming the word of God with life-giving application that allows a response. Though these leadership gifts, these five gifts, all of them should be able to teach in some capacity. But again, this teacher in this sense, there's a special grace, again, that's a little different than just one who might be able to teach. So with that understanding, that kind of logic, understanding that each and every one of us have the possibility of an individual portion of that gift, and understanding that in any given gathering, those five gifts could be present in any church, everywhere, the body, universal. And that they're given to equip God's people for specific purpose. What can happen, and this is kind of an aside, but what can happen is apostles, prophets, and evangelists can sometimes get disgruntled with the way church is. And they can tend to not be active, or they can tend to be fed up and leave. And then they're not part of the gathering as they should be. Again, that's a different topic, different time, probably not from a Sunday morning. But there's an understanding that these five gifts given by Jesus to the church to lead, build, and equip could be present and should be present in every ministry, every gathering. Ephesians 4:12, though, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. The word equip here, it means to strengthen or mend, or strengthen or perfect the soul. It also comes with the idea of mending and repairing something. And in classical Greek, it has to do with setting a bone after a bone has been broken. And so there's this understanding. This word to equip means to bring completion, to strengthen, to mend. And so these five gifts given to the church are to strengthen, mend, and repair the body so that we can do God's work. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying? It's also understanding that, again, if every one of us have some capacity of these gifts, that like iron sharpens iron, so does one person or man sharpen another. This idea that we're actually in it together for the benefit of one another to equip each other to do God's work. And depending on your translation, God's work isn't just preaching, teaching, altar ministry, and worship team. God's work, works of service, depending on your translation, or works of ministry, they all, if you remember back to what I said about Levites being ministry-oriented, ministering to the Lord and to the people. And they got to do that as a specialized group, but now it's the entire body of born-again believers and followers of Jesus that have become priests, male and female. And so, again, it means any one of us in this local gathering, including myself as the lead shepherd, have the ability to equip one another to do works of service. And so for this morning, we're going to take a look briefly at a few things. It's actually not going to be a longer message today, hopefully. Depends if I ask you questions. Part of my role is to strengthen, mend, and repair God's people, or provide opportunities for that to occur in order for the body to be built up. And I'm not meant to carry that burden myself. We're actually meant to work together, because it says their responsibility. It doesn't list the five gifts and then say, but the pastor's responsibility is doing this. It says the five, those leadership gifts to the church. Galatians 5:13, though, it says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And so God's work, or his ministry, or his works of service, it means to perform a loving service. It's actually what it means, a loving service. With the idea of what I just read in Galatians, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So this idea of God's work means to wait a table or fulfill an obligation. So to do a loving service means to wait a table or fulfill an obligation. So just think about that for a moment before we move on. To wait a table or fulfill an obligation. And it says not to use your freedom, you know, if you read through the other parts of Galatians for yourself, but to use your freedom to serve one another in love. It's a loving service. So my role is to strengthen, mend, and repair along with all of those who are gifted like this by Jesus, so that the body can serve. Again, just reflect on that for a moment, what that looks like. Now, again, on any given Sunday morning, we have something called the 9:20 meeting. The 9:20 meeting is meant to have all of those who might serve in various roles, specifically children's making coffee and different things. And on any given Sunday, there's almost 30 people doing something here on a Sunday morning, between lockup, greeter, front desk. Those are just specific roles. They're serving in some type of ministry. But it's not just, this word isn't just about a specific ministry. And we'll get there in a moment. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So we understand that it's not just pigeonholing service into one thing, because we're going to look through this list here. But to serve, or works of service, or ministry, it means a wide range of things. It means to give hospitality. And we've talked about that before, individually and corporately, what hospitality looks like. And there's scriptures in your outline. I'm not going to read through them this morning, but they're there for your reference. But this idea of part of ministry is to be hospitable, to entertain. And I don't mean like put on a show. I mean to entertain guests in your home, to be hospitable when you're downtown, to encourage connections. And again, some people have the gift of hospitality. But it doesn't mean that the rest of us are not allowed to be hospitable. So being hospitable is also part of service. At the same time, works of ministry is to distribute food to those in need. And you can do that individually. We can do that as a body when we gather. We can do that when we provide food for our fellowship lunch. We also have a ministry that's called Feed the Need or Meet the Need. And it's a ministry where food is prepared. It's in the freezer. And whether you need it for yourself or your neighbor, whether they go to church or they actually are far from Jesus, it doesn't matter. The food is available for you to take and give to them. And so we have a ministry available, but it's just something, that's the idea, to distribute food when the widows were overlooked in Acts 6:1. It's also the idea of works of ministry and service is to collect and distribute poor, not the poor, collect and distribute to the poor. To collect and distribute help to the poor. It's also known as alms. Alms for the poor. I think that's the line from Monty Python. Alms. This idea of collecting and distributing funds to those who are outside of the community of faith who need help. Again, there are different ministries corporately that we do, that funds come into the benevolence funds and we're able to help people with gas and meals, and we do hygiene for the homeless and provide laundry and different things that Pastor Steve was looking over. And we also have our missional funds and giving to missionaries and all the different things that go on. But sometimes those things, I mean, it's a practical thing to collect and distribute funds to help those in need. You can do that individually. Sometimes in scriptures it talks about them as a corporate gathering, collecting funds to give and take to, you know, Jerusalem, for example. It also means to look after physical needs within the body. So that means when somebody needs some stairs built, or somebody needs help moving, or somebody needs some care or visitation, or they're in the hospital, or there's something going on, it's not just my role to go, it's our role to go and visit and see and help and go, what can I do to help you? As Christians, within the body, to the person sitting right next to you that might need some help. Now again, I said it before, if you need help but you don't let anybody know, then nobody can ever come and help you. But if you need help and you expect me to come and do something that's construction oriented, that's a bad choice for you. But there are others in this congregation who have those skills. So it's the idea of being able to know. I mean, but it's part of what ministry is. So the five people listed in that gift mix, their responsibility is to strengthen, mend, and repair God's people so they can do these things, God's works of service. At the same time, it means to minister to the Lord, like the Levites. So again, if we're all part of the royal priesthood, it means that we come and, like this morning, the Lord sings over us with rejoicing and gives, we can come and gather together to worship Him with song and from our heart. Though we know that worship is not just about song, it's about our life surrendered daily and regularly. And as a gathering of people, we have opportunities that are available for those. Abide, prayer times, Sunday mornings, special gatherings, times when we gather to worship and pray and lay on our faces before the Lord or wander and just be in His presence corporately. But it's not just about doing that corporately. It's also about you doing it individually in your homes. Works of service is also related to the exercise of spiritual gifts. And that's a wide range of things, and I'm hoping to look over them in the next couple Sundays. But spiritual gifts, they're not just for a Sunday morning, but they're for whenever you gather together. And I would say that they're even for the marketplace. Again, that's a different subject, but that's also part of works of service. Preaching, teaching the word is part of that. Proclaiming the gospel is part of that. Bringing exhortation and encouragement to the body is part of that. So exhortation means to emphatically urge someone to do something. I think I do that to my children often. Encouragement is giving somebody confidence or hope or imparting that to them. So again, exhortation, just for your awareness, is emphatically urging someone to do something, and encouragement is giving someone support or hope or comfort. That's also part of works of service. It's also about bringing correction and admonition. Admonition is a firm warning or reprimand. That's also part of works of service. And it's not just all about rainbows and chocolate cake. There are some things that are challenging to us as the Lord convicts our hearts and challenges us to act on things when we don't want to, and we have to surrender our own being to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you've asked me, but I don't really want to. And then we're like Jonah, running from God, which doesn't work. But it also means in all of this to wait tables, to set tables. And so practically, when we do funerals in the community and there's opportunity to physically set tables, that's one thing. You know, fellowship lunch, we can set up tables and chairs, that's another thing. But again, it means to fulfill an obligation or to have an act of loving service. And so there's this understanding here. This list, I mean, this is not an exhaustive list. There are things that can be added. We've talked extensively about getting into our community. And we'll continue to, because we must. Because it's not about us in our gathering, it's about those who don't know Jesus, and we have to find ways to bring them to know Jesus. So we'll continue to talk about that and be able to act on those things. But you don't need my hand to... Sorry, let me try that again. I don't need to hold your hand to go and do some of those things. If you feel the Lord has called you to be in the community as an individual follower of Jesus, please reach out to your neighbors. Interact with those you work with. Serve them. Love them. We don't have to do that en masse as a large body. But we can, and we have. Again, that's also part of works of ministry or works of service. But here's the thing. Serving people is limitless. But sometimes serving is simply helping with whatever is needed or seen regardless of the inconvenience. So I'll say that again. Serving is limitless, but sometimes serving is simply helping with whatever is needed or seen regardless of the inconvenience. That can be hard to hear. Because what I've noticed in almost 21 years of being a Christian is that the older generation sees a need and gets it done. The younger generation often walks around with blinders on, only looking ahead for something. So if you have a family, you're focused on your family, looking at needs for others is difficult. And the older generation, who will look and have a little different work ethic, sometimes will get things done even when they shouldn't physically be doing things anymore. And the younger generation just are oblivious without any thought in their heart. And it's not that they do it maliciously. And I'm part of that younger generation. But it's just when I look at serving in general, the thing that serving is limitless because of all these different things of works of service. But the simple fact that it means helping when there's a need. And I've shared it before when I first got saved and I was part of a worship team. Actually, it was their roadie, their band guy who would come and clear things for them because that's what I wanted to do. And I remember, I'll say it again, I remember when I was helping serve and I was stacking chairs and I was doing stuff and the band just sat on the stage and watched me do it. And because I hadn't talked with them, and because one at the time was now my brother-in-law, but future brother-in-law, even though Natalie and I weren't even an item then. I never asked for help. I just expected they should know because I'd only been a Christian like 6 months. Surely they should know. But again, we were all young adults with blinders on to our own specific thing. And so I remember slamming chairs around and smashing things all over the place. And I'm like, what's wrong with these guys? They don't see that I'm serving them. Ah. And Jesus just kind of gently stepped in and said, I've called you to serve regardless of who helps you. But the thing is, that was a personal conviction. But as I look at Scripture, that's the call to all of us. To serve even if no one else helps you. But what happens often is one person serves while the rest of us take. And that's hard. And to be honest, I think we're all guilty of that sometimes. The rest of us serve while others take. We get to see that often in our homes with our children. Not just our children, but children in general. As they're learning what it means to be part of a family and to help. It's not just mom and dad's job. And so as part of our gathering, part of what we do when we gather is also to serve, to wait tables, to serve one another. Plus those other things, but I don't even know where I am on my notes for the first time, I think, since I got here. What do we practically do when we gather as a body? Whether it's now on Sunday morning, Tuesday evenings at MOPS, at Brighter or Fuse or the numerous children's things that what happens practically when we gather. And for the sake of this morning, if we simply look at the fact that helping with whatever is needed or seen as a loving service to use our freedom to serve others in love, what does that look like? So what do you see? What do you notice that needs to be done? When you drive up, do you notice weeds outside? I do. I notice weeds, but I too get distracted and go, I think I need to work on a sermon rather than look after the yard. And so, but when you pull up to the church, what do you think about when you see the weeds? Do you go, I can help, or do you get mad that nobody's picked the weeds? Does that make, I'm trying to be facetious there or whatever, but that's something that I notice. As we gather, we're all part of it together, and often we think, well, somebody else should do this. Or we just are not focused on it because it's not important. Again, I notice the weeds because I'm the pastor here, but if I wasn't the pastor here, I wouldn't notice them because I don't like gardening. I usually kill most things, and my yard is filled with weeds, and I'm like, I think it's a plant. I don't really know. It's got flowers on it. So it sounds like I would just keep on going and not care at all. Again, because of my role, I see it. But what do you think? What do you see when you see that? Are there things in the building that might need repair that some of us don't see? That's not just the responsibility of the board, but you might see it and go, hey, I can actually help do something about that. Again, if we're looking at serving as part of what we do when we gather, at any point when we gather, even if it's at a home and you're gathering for something, what do you see? After we gather on a Sunday morning, you see coffee mugs sitting around and bulletins and garbage. What do you think when you see that? I'm just being kind of open here. What do you think when you see that? You don't have to give me a response. It's just being mindful. Be aware of your surroundings. I need reminding of that too. Natalie reminds me often. If I've gone somewhere or we're eating dinner at someone's house, and normally at our house, I'll take your plate before you even finished, and in the dishwasher it goes. But when I'm at somebody's house, sometimes I'm usually engaged in conversation and I'm focused on stuff, and Natalie's like, did you even offer to help do the dishes? I'm like, no, you should go do that. I said, well, they're already done. So, and so the thing is, we all need reminders sometimes to be aware of our surroundings and go, how can I serve? Even if it's a little inconvenient. We like to drink coffee here. But it requires help. I heard some amens. It requires help to get it prepared and set up and watched during service and replenished if needed. And so, again, there's things that can be served. But it's not just about that. It's about going, maybe you're not part of that role or that ministry. Because I'll say it's a ministry. Coffee. But you see things But you go, well, the coffee person can just clean that up. I'm not going to help. It's a simple thing, but often we can think like that. So it's about realizing, like, if we're a family, even at home, as I say to my children, like, don't leave your stuff there for mom and dad to look after. We're in this together. You're part of the family, too. Let's be mindful of our stuff. And it's not that you're children. It's that I even need reminders of that kind of stuff. And I'm 40, soon to be 41. And so I think it's important to revisit when we gather, if serving is simply looking after a need or something that's seen, even if it's inconvenient, that it's something that we need to look at. It's the same thing with fellowship lunch. We love to eat food and gather and stuff. And often, at the end of it, it's our seniors that are helping put things away, because us with family, sometimes we get distracted and we're like, we got to go and we got to do all these different things. I'm just making you aware that when we're dealing with serving, it's all of us together. And it's important. So this isn't one of those like, what's wrong with you? It's like we're all in this together, helping one another. Does that make sense? We also have a large group of children or preteens. This is the fun one that everybody wants to avoid often. I see not to. But we always need teachers and helpers and snack providers and different people involved in our ministries. But again, this isn't just about plugging a ministry. This is about serving. This is about seeing a need that if there's a large group of people gathered around doing something at any of our gatherings, and there's one or two people stacking chairs and moving stuff, and everybody else just stands and talks, that shouldn't be. Because we can work alongside one another, shoulder to shoulder, as we do different things. Does that make sense? And again, if we look at serving as not using our freedom to serve ourselves, but doing a loving act of service, even if this isn't your home church or where you gather regularly, in your place where you do gather regularly, what do you do when you see something? I know that as I say some of these things, there's a wide range of thoughts going through your head. Some of you might think, well, I come to meet Jesus and connect with people. Don't ask me to do anything. Well, it's not me asking you to do a specific task. It's me just saying, be aware. Be aware of the surroundings. At the same time, you might think, well, I do serve in this ministry. I can't do anything else. But it's not so much me asking for you to do something in some ministry. It's just about being aware of your surroundings. And some of you might say, well, I serve, so where else can I help? I serve, so what else can I do? But understanding that, I won't go into it today, but boundaries are allowed. Saying no is okay, but that's a longer message. But understanding that, as I've experienced it myself, I traveled on this isn't against worship ministry team, but I was a drummer on a traveling team. And the drummer, like, I had to bring in my own drum set every time we played. So in the traveling time, we did 32 services in 25 days. And the drum set was like this. So full drum set. You know, the guitar guy comes in with their box like that. Maybe some amps. But the drummer, like, I have to take everything apart, pack it away, put it away. The rest of the band never helped me because I was the drummer, and so it was my responsibility. But often through that, we learned that we would just start to help each other. And if we got to a location like a school and they needed help stacking chairs, well, we weren't just there to sing. We were there to also serve. But that was difficult to walk through, because sometimes I'm like, I got to set this silly drum set up. I don't want to go lift chairs. And so I'm just being like, I use that as an example because it's real in my own life. I know that those involved in worship serve and are learning different things. But understanding in my own heart, it was a challenging thing because I didn't want to do it. and I had to surrender to the Lord. And he would remind me constantly of what happened when I was kicking chairs all over the place, being like, why is nobody helping me? And him just saying, I've called you to serve regardless of who helps you. The thing is, I know that there are those with gift of service and those with a gift of hospitality. And those who have those gifts, they have a greater desire and ability, no matter what's going on, to serve and be hospitable. I know that. It amazes me that I see people like that, but that's part of the body. But at the same time, no born-again follower of Jesus is beneath serving simply to meet a need or set a table. And I know I use the word set a table, and please, I'm not just thinking about our tables at our fellowship lunch, but I just mean that idea of serving somebody like you would at your own home. There are many different things, different capacities, different callings. As I already read in 1 Corinthians, different kinds of service related to the list that I gave and beyond it. But I'll say, and I wrestle through it all the time, just because I'm preaching the message doesn't mean I'm beneath serving in other things. And often I get kind of, you know, on the end of a service when I want to help do something physical and things, often I'm engaged in conversation and prayer, and there's this wrestle inside of me that goes, well, I want to talk, but I want to go do, and so I'm just letting you know, there's always tension. There's tension in my own heart going, I want to go serve, but I got to do this. I want to go do that, but I need to have this conversation. And so this isn't about beating yourself up. It's just saying, be aware of our surroundings when we gather, not just on a Sunday morning, but all the things that we gather together to do and outside this place with other followers of Jesus. So what do you see? Where do you serve? And what can you do to help? I'm going to call the worship team back up. Now, I'm just going to give opportunity. This isn't specifically related to the message because this is a practical thing. If you see something and you go, hey, I can help do something, come and talk to me. It's not just about getting you involved in some type of ministry. I mean, we'll look at that in spiritual gifts and things, but if you can help and anything that you see out there that you might go, hey, this is something I could do or I could help with. I'm not even talking about a ministry or a different thing. I just mean help physically, practically. Come talk to me. But I've called the team back up here because I just want to give, if in anything that's gone on this morning, from the start of the morning with the words given and the encouragement and exhortation, admonition, if you need some prayer, I'm going to direct you to come over to this side of the sanctuary. So I'm going to have everybody stand. And the team will close. And if you'd like prayer, the prayer team will meet you here. You can come to this side. And if you just want to come forward and just kind of move away from distraction, you can come over to this side. But if you need to leave, maybe wait till the song is finished. But you can go. May the Lord be with you. He would keep you. He would make his face shine on you, that he would give you a change in your countenance because you've met with him, not just today, but every day. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are good and that even when you bring challenge and change of mindsets and things, it's gracious, Lord, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that this morning, that what has been said, that we would just hear that you call us to serve. Father, have your way in our hearts. Have your way in this week and the rest of this long weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.